everyone. Welcome to 2020. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Mike Dell. And of course, you're listening to the Podcast Insider. Hey, yeah. Mike, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. And I do have a Barbara Walters quote there loaded up, but I'm not going to play it. This is 2020.
Oh, that's right. That's kind of funny. Here, this is 2020.
This is 2020.
Anyway. So everyone, welcome to the new year. And whoa, I tell you, here we are, and it's just amazing time in podcasting. And of course, as we've talked about in previous shows, this is the month. This is the month to stay busy, because new podcast listener acquisitions is number one this week. But we've got a little bit of news for you, some best practices. We're going to talk about some stuff going on at Blueberry. Of course, we've got an interview as well. And then got some stuff from the support folks as well. And I think today's interview is really, really exciting, because it's about a genre of content that we really haven't talked a lot about here. But we'll get into that later. First thing up in the news is, if you live in California, well, you are now protected by the CCPA. So according to Barry, Mike, we are good to go.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what the EU did a couple of years back, and maybe a little bit deeper from what I understand. But we have an article from privacypolicies.com that we'll have linked in there that you can read all about it if you're in California or you deal with people in California, which if you're podcasting, you do.
So, you know, it brings up an interesting point. So we've got the GDPR, we have CCPA, and what we have also happening in the podcasting space is a lot of third-party sites that are coming out with new and fancy tools, add this prepend or add this URL or use this link, and it's always tied to their service. It's tied to their website, to their .com or their domain. And if you are using those third-party tools to link to something to make people subscribe easier, whatever you may be linking to, you have to be very, very careful. You have to make sure that anything you are essentially implementing as a service on your website that your users are going to be clicking on, you need to make sure that those services are not only are they CCPA compliant, they are GDPR compliant, because when they come back and ask for information, they're going to come to you. They're not going to go to those third-party websites. So you need to make sure that the partners you work with, the people that you are, tools that you're using, have thought this through. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we spent time getting GDPR compliant, we talked about this on previous shows, I had two devs and essentially about 3 to 4 months worth of work each to get us ready. And I figured it cost me about $1 million to become GDPR compliant with lawyer fees and everything. And the CCPA stuff was more of a lawyer review of all our services, all of our terms of services and so forth. And that costs money. And I don't think some of these services are really thinking about this. So you have to protect yourself and be careful what you're using out there and ask very hard questions. It's very easy for a group of people or a company to say, oh yeah, we're GDPR compliant. And then to actually be GDPR compliant is two different things. So, or CCPA compliant. So just be careful out there on the tools that you use. And you can rest assured that everything here at Blueberry is GDPR compliant and is, you know, anonymizing data, all the stuff that's required. And of course for CCPA as well.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, they just don't want you to be tracked without your permission, and that seems reasonable, but it's a technical challenge to a lot of these companies. So,
and if you're using some of these companies' tools, you know, we don't know how they can not be using data that would be, they have to, in order to get the data that they're getting, they have to be tracking the listener somehow. So just be careful out there with all these companies and ask the hard questions so that you are protected, because you are ultimately responsible. Let's talk about Gimlet. What are they looking for, Mike?
Yeah, Gimlet's looking for a producer of scripted fiction. Gimlet traditionally has been doing a lot of nonfiction NPR style podcasts, highly produced and whatnot, but they haven't really got into scripted fiction that much yet, and it sounds like they're going to be dipping their toes into it.
Yes, yes, indeed. And on a week Saturday, Rob Greenlee and I did a new media show episode, and I entitled the episode The Real 2020 Podcast Predictions. So I think that what we really have here is, you know, at least I'm considered Rob to be, you know, long tooth enough in the space to kind of understand what's going on, where things are heading. And him and I kind of dug through and we talked about some of the things other people were predicting and not necessarily debunk them, but I consider our 2020 predictions to be pretty dead on. Did you listen to the episode, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely listened to it. I didn't catch it live because I didn't know you were going to be recording it that day. But, yeah, some of the predictions were, I think, dead on.
So we'll see. And we'll hold ourselves accountable next year. At the end of the year, we'll kind of review. We're going to be recording the next edition of the New Media Show on Friday at 12. So, because I'm leaving for Las Vegas for CES on Saturday. So, if you're interested. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about SEO and podcast sites. And Mike, before we send people over, let's just give them a warning. I've never seen a website with as many pop-ups.
Yeah, it's something else. And every time you head for a button that'll take you off the site, another pop-up comes up. But the article is worth reading.
So it talks about how to SEO your podcast, fits right in with some of the things that we've talked about over the years. And I'm going to tell you, you've got a distinct advantage here with your own website and your own .com and not being in a lockdown vertical. You are in a great position to really to make things happen. And, you know, with as far as being able to be discovered and everything goes along with SEO for your personal website. So, you know, you're really set up for the future in a big, big way.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's harder to SEO, you know, non-text site. So, you know, as we've been talking all along, you do want to put a lot of text on there and a lot of relevant text.
I call it contextual text. It has to be something that, you know, is readable, makes sense, outbound links, of course, people linking to you, you know, all those things are important.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't understand how important.
Yeah, I always tell them, you know, make it so humans can read it. And that's what Google's looking for as well. You know, you definitely want to throw in the proper keywords and stuff, but don't stuff it and don't make it sound fake. You know, just, you know.
Natural.
Yeah, just a natural, what you would normally write if you were talking to humans, because that's what you're doing.
And that's what Google's looking for.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about best practices. So, Mike, you've got a topic up here. When to rebrand a show versus starting a new show.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of people, you know, this time of year, think about, you know, well, what are they doing, you know, with their podcasting? Do they want to, you know, change directions, whatever? And a lot of people will change the name of their show or rebrand a show. And I know you and Rob did that in mid-episode one time.
Yeah, did it right on the podcast, yeah.
But your old episodes were still relevant to what you were talking about, you know, after the rebrand. But some people, they rebrand so far afield that it's really not the same podcast anymore. And, you know, when it gets to that point, it might be time to just start over, you know, do
start
a different show.
Start a new website and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're rebranding, you know, from, you know, in my case, underwater basket weaving to canoeing.
Yep.
That's a big enough shift that it's worth just starting over. You know, yeah, you want to tell your subscribers, hey, you know, I'm still going to be podcasting, but I'm going to go over here. Tell them on the old show to come over to the new show.
Yeah. I think, too, is part of it is, you know, you got to think about it. It depends on, like you said, how much you're shifting. If you're talking about a business topic and you're going to kind of shift a little bit and change and talk about a little bit different business topic, then you're probably okay,
sure,
you know, to stay with the same you know, keep just kind of rebrand. Like Rob and I, we were talking, our show was called the Saturday Morning Tech Show. But the show had been talking so much about podcasting for so many months, the audience already knew that's what we were going to talk about. So we just kind of redid the name to fall in line with what we are really talking about. And I think that's what many of you are going to find, is that you're doing a show and you're talking about a specific topic, but you find yourself keep shifting to a different piece of conversation around something similar. I think you're safe then just to rename the show. And sometimes a renaming of the show can do significant wonders to discovery. And you just got to think about that discovery piece. But then again, if you've got a show that's called, now as an example here, when Rob and I made the shift, we had the Saturday Morning Tech Show hosted at geeknewscentral.com. Made sense, right? It's a geek site, tech site, sure. News site. So we actually launched a new site. That's when we launched the new media show, just like we did here. We moved from PowerPress Podcast to Podcast Insider. You know, we're still talking podcasting. The agenda stayed about the same, but we did it specifically for SEO purposes, for Google search results. If you don't have your own website now and you're just at some vertical,
right?
And I hope you're not, because you're on blueberry.com. And that you've got a WordPress site and you're doing all the things we've talked about over the years of having a better branded show, you're not going to have this issue. But anyway, I think your point's well taken, Mike, here. So it's all about searchability and findability, and right. Not just in Google, but Apple and everywhere else.
Sure. And, you know, like I say, you know, I've rebranded shows before, you've rebranded them. We rebranded this one, you know, and
right.
And, you know, it's not an unusual thing in the podcast world. Just, you know, if you're, you know, a lot of your listeners come to you for whatever content you've been doing. If you've been doing the new content for the rebrand already and then switch to it, then, you know, just keep going, whatever. But, you know, if you're basically changing the show completely, it might be better to start over. And, you know, we'll talk to you about it if you want to get an opinion. Yeah.
So it's another thing too, is to think about, is that they come for you, you know, that largely coming for you, and the content is important, but oftentimes it's secondary. So let's talk about discontinuing a show. Do you need to do anything, or just stop podcasting on that feed? What do you need to do when you decide to stop a show?
Yeah, you know, along the same lines, a lot of people, you know, they decide, yeah, I don't want to do that show anymore. And, you know, they're going to go do a different show maybe, or maybe just quit podcasting altogether. We hope you don't. But, you know, what do you have to do, or what should you do? You know, in my opinion, if you discontinue a show, you should have a final episode and just say, hey, you know, I'm doing something else, and tell them what you're doing if you have that in mind already. And maybe leave the thing up for a while. That would be my suggestion, but you could just let it fade away.
Or you could redirect to your new show. I wouldn't redirect the show without warning. I think I would tell them in the last episode, like, we're ending this show and we're starting a new show at this location. And if don't worry, if you want to stay listening to us, we're going to redirect you over to that new show. And then it'll happen automatically. Otherwise, thanks for listening. So I think that's probably a pretty good strategy. But, you know, always do a goodbye episode if you can.
Right.
So let's talk about a little news going on at Blueberry. We got a lot going on. PowerPress 8.1 is out, and we did that right before the holiday. So check your dashboard. If you need to update PowerPress, please do that. And it's more addressed towards new users of PowerPress, because there's a new getting started section. Those of you that remember Simple Mode is gone. So now there's a real fancy new getting started area where new podcasters that are coming in with PowerPress can much more easily get started. It's part of our multi-step process here in improving the UI UX of our system. At the same time, PowerPress 8.2 is in beta testing, and wow, this is going to be a monumental change to the episode box. So big changes are coming to 8.2. It's not too dramatic, but it's going to shock people a little bit, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, you know, basically we're getting rid of one of the tabs in the settings. We're going to relocate a lot of those settings to the episode box and other places. And it's just a general simplification of things so that you don't have to go one place to enable a particular field you want to use in the episode box. You can do it right there in the episode box. And it just, you know, keeps the back and forth to a minimum and simplifies things. And so, that's what we're going for.
Yeah, and the episode box will actually have tabs now. So you're going to find different things under different tabs, right, different functions. So we're excited about this and looking forward to your feedback. So if you want a beta test, how do they get on the beta test, Mike?
Yeah, just shoot an email, support@blueberry.com, and request to be on the beta list, and we will get you on the list and let you know when we have something to test.
It's going to be happening, or it's available now to test. So,
yeah.
But if you want to, here's the deal. We've got a launch date on this, so you got a short amount of time if you want to provide feedback to get in, do the beta test, and say whether you love it or not. We've had already podcasters looking at it and giving us feedback, so it's not completely been, you know, just thought up out of the blue. A lot of team has done a lot of work with this, so anyway, exciting stuff. But hey, Mike, we've got a bunch of new people starting on January 6th.
Yeah, it's interesting. The office down there in Columbus is going to get a little more crowded.
Yeah. So one of the developers that was an intern, Ben, has been brought on full time. And so we're excited to have him join the team on a full time basis. And then we've got a new graphics designer that's starting. It's a replacement for Emma, who we lost in the fall. And then we've got a new marketing director that's starting. So we're going to have two Jeffs in the company, Mike. So
and two Aarons.
And two Aarons as well, yeah, because the new graphics person's name is Aaron. So
I texted Todd when I heard that. I said, you can't hire any more Mikes.
Can't hire any Mikes. Well, I'll keep that. I'll put that memo somewhere. But, yeah, exciting. So the team is growing, and some fresh blood into the company. It's going to be, you know, it's good to have some new perspective. But anyway, that's what's going on. Hey, also, are you want to run ads in your show for Blueberry? Are you a Blueberry hosting customer? Do you love Blueberry? I know you do because you're listening to this podcast. I have a few more spots for shows that want to run the Blueberry ad campaign. And first run goes through the 31st of January. So do not delay. If you want to join that, todd@blueberry.com, and let me know the name of your show. Unfortunately, if you are an affiliate already, this is not open to affiliates. You have to be a non-affiliate to participate. And you do have to be a hosting customer. That is the minimum requirement. So let's talk about this interview, Mike.
You interviewed Dan Moyle over at the Storytellers Network. It sounded like a pretty good interview. I listened to about three quarters of it.
We'll cut to Dan and my interview, and he's at thestorytellersnetwork.com. And here comes the interview, and we'll be back after that. Hey, podcaster family, I've got Dan Moyle on the line, and we're going to talk about his stories, about his shows that he's doing. Dan, welcome to Podcast Insider. And if you would, give everyone a little 411 about you.
Sure, Sad. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this because, like so many of us, I love talking about myself. So, professionally, I'm in marketing. I am a marketing professional for a marketing agency, so I do the marketing for us, so very meta. But I'm also, I'm a husband, I'm a dad of a blended family, I'm a biker, I love podcasting, I love listening to podcasts, I'm a writer, so that's kind of me. I do a lot of different things.
So, you know, what we've been doing on the show is trying to get the genesis of why you started the show and then kind of dig in and... So why podcasting? What attracted it to you? You know, what was the moment?
Well, it's interesting in my mind anyway. I hope it is to everybody else. I started off at an agency that helped thought leaders get on podcasts as guests, a podcast interview marketing agency. And so I knew what podcasts were. I actually, going back even further, I worked at a TV news station and I created what I think was the first Michigan news podcast back in like 2005.
Wow.
And And so I knew that like this was something that was up and coming. So then fast forward, you know, 10 years later, and I'm working for this agency that helps people get on podcasts, kind of like a PR agency. And so I went to a couple different events, you know, PodFest Multimedia Expo and Podcast Movement, met a bunch of people, saw the incredible community that this really is, and just thought, man, I want a show and I want to do this. And I approached the owner of the company at the time that I was working with and said, you know, I think we should have a show, and I think it should be about storytelling to help people tell better stories so they can be better at podcast guests and all these things. He loved the idea, but didn't want to do it right away. And I had the bug at the time. You know, I had met people. I mean, gosh, I met so many different podcasters. I can't even name them all. But I just really fell in love with this idea. And so I asked him, I said, okay, I brought you the idea, but can I do it on my own? Like, I want to make my own show. So that's when I created the Storytellers Network. And that first aired January 1st of 18. So almost 2 years now at the time of this recording. And so I want to talk to storytellers and get their stories. There are great shows out there that tell you how to tell a better story.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, ton of marketing podcasts, ton of story podcasts. But mine is kind of almost like the behind the scenes, you know, like the VH1 Storytellers kind of a feel. We talk about story, about why they do what they do, what they love about it, that kind of thing. And it's just, man, it's been an incredible, you know, almost 2 years.
So I often think that the behind the scenes stuff is almost as cool as the main content. I remember when Andy McCaskey and I and Jeffrey Powers, the three of us were trudging around the Consumer Electronics Show, and we were doing some live, we were doing interviews, we were doing in a booth. I mean, it was multifaceted, but the things that got people really kind of more engaged was the ride in the cab from the convention center back to the hotel, where we were just kind of riffing on one another and talking about the day. And it's kind of like that behind the scenes stuff always is very, you know, that's everyone's got curiosity of, okay, and that's why we do this show. Why did you start a podcast? And, you know, what are you getting from it? I did want to, I caught something and I didn't realize this. Where in Michigan are you?
The Kalamazoo area.
Okay. You know that I'm in Coldwater, right?
So actually I'm not that far from you then, cause I'm actually in Mendon, St. Joe County.
Okay.
So we're actually even closer.
That's funny.
So I knew the blueberry tie to like Traverse City and stuff. So I didn't know where you had landed recently, but yeah, that's awesome. We're not that far away from each other, man.
Yeah. So, the blueberry office is actually in Columbus, and that's where I'm at today. But actually this evening I head back to Michigan. I'll be in my personal studio the rest of the week and working. But so it's kind of you know, ask me in February if this move from Hawaii to Michigan was a good move. So we'll see. So you started the Storytellers Network. You mentioned to me you've done over 100 episodes so far. So you're tracking pretty well on putting them out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I don't consider myself very organized, but when I got ready to launch my show, I leaned on a couple of folks, Jamie J., with Culture Eat Strategy at the time. Yep. I was writing The Pine. But yeah, Jamie J helped me out and gave me a bunch of information. And I said, you know, I don't want to rely on podcast pitches. Like, there are some great companies out there that do that.
Sure.
But I want to go after what I want to go after.
Yep.
So I created a spreadsheet of the guests that I wanted to go after. And I knew that I wanted to break it up into a season every 12 weeks or so. And I knew that not having an audience at the beginning, I needed to talk to people who, you know, maybe had a little bit of an audience.
Sure.
Who were my at least colleagues or friends or whatever. And so I planned out my entire year. And then when 2019 came around, I did the same thing. And I'm even looking at 2020 now going, okay, here's my year already. And so I you know, it just became this obsession of getting the right guests and planning it out. And yeah, when I crossed 100, I thought, oh, when did that happen?
Right.
So that was pretty cool.
You know, my thought on seasons, don't you, for podcasters that are new under 2 years.
What's that?
If you're going to do seasons, the first 2 year your podcast, the first season's season one ends on Friday and season two begins on Monday.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's kind of and I always tease people about that, but there's a reason behind that. And if people want to know why, we can talk about that another time. So you started the Storytellers Network. And so what has this, how's the audience response been? What are you getting back for feedback?
It's been an incredible experience. I think, you know, when I do hear from people who listen to the show, they really do enjoy it. They love the variety of guests. You know, it's not just a marketing podcast. It's not just an author's podcast. It's all these different people who tell stories. And I tend to bring people to listeners who maybe they didn't realize were even out there. And then sometimes I get really big guests, like the creator, like a creator of a TV show on ABC. So it's been, you know, it's been really cool as far as that goes. I think for me though, as much as I appreciate my listeners and I of course want more,
sure.
What's been really cool for me is the connections that I've made through the show with other guests and other podcasters, and how I've had people ask me, well, how did you start your show? And so simple things like putting together a list of equipment or ask about the why they want to start it, who your audience is going to be, you know, the marketing side of things. It's really, you know, not that it's, and again, this is not a professional thing. I don't make money off of this. I just love it. I love being a part of the community and connecting with other podcasters. And I've become obsessed with audio dramas and a couple of particular ones. So that to me has been a huge part of the journey. And I see the podcast as being a platform to further that side of my career at some point.
Sure.
You know, I love what I do in my day-to-day job, my 9-to-5, so to speak. But I also see more coming, you know, books in my future, speaking engagements in my future, maybe some side consulting or helping to launch a podcast service for the company that I work for. So there's a lot there that has just been, I mean, gosh, I can't even imagine being here where I am today if it wasn't for starting that podcast back in 18.
So it's interesting, you know, and a lot of times I hear, you know, I hear differing stories, but I hear podcasters that are in this to learn. They're in this to figure out a way to monetize it and make money. They're doing, you know, it runs the gambit, but yours is more of a, you're essentially at this point putting dollars in the bank or contacts in the bank, information mm-hmm. in the bank, so that it will, you know, again, it'll help you down the line, along with giving this great information to your listeners. So I think that's a pretty common strategy in podcasting. And are you even worried about the monetization piece?
No, not at this point. I'm certainly fortunate that I have a day job
sure.
that pays my bills. You know, podcasting can be relatively inexpensive if yep. you have the right setup and stuff, mm-hmm. but you know, it can also be a real drain. And so I have a supportive wife who lets me do my hobby. And then, yeah, a day-to-day job that does this, which also has some podcasting aspects in it as well as the day-to-day job. So it's, right. yeah, I'm pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I think that supportive wife measure is probably just as important as anything. And, you know, my story, many have heard it many times, is I had that in the conversation when I came home after starting a podcast and said, hey, I'm starting a podcast. I got that look. You know, and what is that? And anyway, I think we all have to have those with our partners, significant others, and so forth. So the Storyteller Network really then also, did it kickstart what you're doing at your nonprofit?
Yeah, so that was part of my obsession with podcasts is when somebody tells me that they have a nonprofit or they have a project or they have something going on, I oftentimes ask them, well, do you know about podcasting? And so I was asked to join the board of directors for this nonprofit called Domestic and Sexual Abuse Services. And we shorten that to DASIS. So if I say DASIS, that's what that means. So the president and the executive director of this organization came to me and said, we'd like for you to consider joining our board. And I said, great, I'd love to consider it. By the way, have you thought about podcasting? And so we had that whole discussion about what that is and why. And I actually brought them an entire plan of how to launch a show for this and why, and said, you know, if I join the board of directors, if you accept me, then I can do this. But if not, here's the plan so you can do it on your own at least.
Yeah.
I just believed in it so much. And the whole idea was I had been at an event where a woman was speaking and she was a survivor of domestic abuse. And she kept saying how she didn't think it was abuse. She kept saying the phrase, literally, I would tell myself, I'm not in an abusive relationship. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. And I thought,
even though she was, that was the oxymoron, right? Or is that the right word to use? Go ahead.
I think so. We make up words, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was this dichotomy of she's in an abusive relationship, but she doesn't see herself that way. And I thought, if we can reach people who tell themselves that mm-hmm. in some way, we can encourage them to educate themselves, to find help, to heal themselves, to get out of that relationship, whatever that looks like for them. And so that was why. And I thought, you know, if we can give listeners the tools to get out of the relationships, but then also offer them hope, then, you know, almost like if it's every other week or every couple episodes, it's not super heavy on tips and gets boring maybe, yep. But it's also not super heavy on talking about abusive relationships from a first person point of view, because that could get very heavy.
Oh, real heavy.
I wanted to go back and forth. And so that was my proposal to them. And gosh, fortunately, they loved it. And I'm able to produce that. We have an amazing radio station in town, not too far, that gives us their studio whenever we want it to just go record.
Nice.
It's incredible. So yeah, big shout out to WBET in Sturgis, Michigan that does that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just down the street.
Yeah, they are. Yep. So it was fun. I mean, fun. I use that term, but it really is. It's incredibly rewarding to connect with listeners, and that show especially. And we've gone from, you know, a small nonprofit that covers three counties in Michigan to getting an average of 400 downloads per episode, and reaching people in every single state and like 40 some countries. And while we can't help every person, we're giving them that hope and that information. And we've heard from people from as far away as South Africa, from as close as Canada, but from other countries that have said, gosh, this show helped me realize that I'm in an abusive relationship and I need help. So thank you.
So, you know, going into that, I'm intrigued here by the content. So, mm-hmm. You know, these stories, man, they have to be like, whew. They got to be pretty emotional, deep. So how do you then, so is it every, do you have a survivor story every episode, or how is this actually, you know, get a little more into how that's laid out? Because, you know, if you're a nonprofit and you're thinking about doing a podcast, or you know someone that works in a nonprofit and has a message that, you know, whatever topic it may be, it could be substance abuse, it could, you know, there's just, you know, there's a nonprofit for everything. So what is your, do you feel your format that you're doing, how are you keeping it so it's not like this, you know, fest every day? How are you forming that message?
That's a great question. And something that we definitely think of every time we're setting out future interviews. I'd love to say that it's perfectly laid out. So I want to tell anybody who's listening, who's thinking of this one thing, plan for the best, hope for the best,
yeah.
But plan for maybe not the best. Ideally it would be every other week is, you know, 1 week, let's say odd numbered weeks are survivor stories, even numbered weeks are experts giving advice and tips, yeah. Right? That would be ideal. Now, finding survivor stories isn't always easy.
I bet people don't want to talk about it.
Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people who want to talk about it, we can tell, because we have therapists on staff and other experts. They know that they're not ready for it.
Oh.
Right? They might be out for revenge, which
yep.
we don't want.
Yep.
They may just not be ready. They may start halfway through the story and trigger themselves and break down. And we sure. don't want that either. Yep. That's more trauma in their lives.
Yep.
So we have people that vet our interviews before they go on the episode. So, but we record in batches. We'll go down to the radio station and record for 2-4 hours, you know, 4 or 5 episodes or whatever. And then we'll intersperse them as they're laid out. And then on the podcast committee there, they consider me executive producer. It was my creation, but whatever you want to call the titles, we have several of us that I consider all producers. And so one of them is our executive director of DASIS, Rose. And Rose will lay out an idea for the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of content and look for a survivor story or two to fit in there.
Sure.
And then we'll get requests from people. We get emails from people who say, oh, I really like what you're doing. I'd love to tell my story, or I'd love to, you know, I have a book that I wrote about abuse that I'd love to offer up to people as an interview. So we've had a few of those as well. And then just, you know, again, kind of knowing some people as they hear the podcast, they say, oh, I know someone who you should talk to. So then it just becomes a matter of kind of juggling those episodes, recording in batches, laying them out where we can. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So every episode this month was focused on that in some way. We had tomorrow, well, as we're recording this, tomorrow goes live, domestic violence in the workplace. We had one that we had a vigil for survivors, and we just recorded it live and aired that as an episode. So we're getting a little bit creative with some things too. So sure. that's how we lay it out.
So, you know, you're obviously local community focused. You're reaching an international audience, but are you getting, I guess the better word is, feet in the door locally from the podcast? Are people coming in and saying, hey, I need some help? Is that happening?
It is. Yeah. Anecdotally, we know that people have heard our show, are searching for help. They've called the hotline, our 24-hour hotline for help. It is reaching people locally. Of course, you know, let's say there are 300,000 people in our immediate area. Yeah. We haven't reached every one of them.
Of course.
But, you know, building that big awareness, people realize that we are local, and we've had the support of some local media, you know, the TV stations, radio stations, newspapers that have covered us. We just talked about the other day, as we've hit these milestones of, you know, 12,000 downloads, 400 per episode, 30 episodes, this kind of thing. We should reach out to them again and say, hey, you know, help us spread the word again. So we are doing that. And of course, social media helps with that. But yeah, we have seen local impact as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of times podcasters will discount local media because they think their show is an international show. But I always tell people, you hit milestones, 50, 100, 150, 200 episodes, you know, you had a birthday, or it doesn't matter. You know, whatever you think is an occasion, you do that, reach out to those, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 local radio stations, the 2 or 3 television stations that are broadcasting in your area. And one of them is going to say, I need 5 minutes on a piece to fill 2 nights from now. And they're going to come and send a truck, and you're going to do a 2-hour interview, and you're going to get 3 minutes on the air, and you're going to feel king of the hill. So there's always opportunities, because, you know, the news, believe it or not, the local news, I'm not talking about international news, but the local, you know, the local news that gets in your area, that reaches people in your area, they're always looking for those local community stories. Unlike mm-hmm. radio, which isn't doing as much of that anymore, but definitely TV is. So I guess, you know, what I think the thing that's exciting to me on this is you've really set up a blueprint. Doesn't cost you a lot. You've got free recording at the radio station, because you say, hey, this is who we are, what we're doing. And what, you know, that is just like, you know, the radio station says yes. And of course, you know, that's an easy one for a GM to say, yeah, come on in and use a studio. So, and if there isn't a radio station in your area, there's always lots of people that have a lot of these new podcast studios that might be willing to donate time too. So, very, very cool. So how many episodes, you guys just started the new show, right?
Yeah. In, I think it was March, somewhere there. We've got 30 episodes out.
So you're doing pretty well in getting that big a reach this far. How are you handling when you get emails from someone in South Africa, or you get emails from someone in Canada, are you trying then to find resources for them in their local area, or because this could get tricky, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think first of all, if I get an email, I forward it to our staff at DASIS and say, here you go, because they're the experts. But, you know, from what I've seen, is that the first thing is empathy. Mm. Before you do anything, just, you know, let them know that you've heard them.
Yep.
You're there for them. You're with them. You stand by them.
Sure.
And then from there, it's, you know, help them find local help. You know, as far as, you know, here in North America, we have the national, maybe it's international, but we have the domestic abuse hotline, yep. that kind of thing, you know, suicide hotline, anything that can help them sure. at least to have somebody to talk to. And then it's a matter of encouraging them to find something local. The biggest thing is just saying, thank you for reaching out to us. We hear you. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Let's talk. So,
you know, and a lot of times people probably don't, you know, people think of abuse, they think of physical abuse, but there's much more than. It goes way beyond that. It's mental abuse. It's
absolutely,
you know, mental, verbal, the whole nine yards. So, so it sounds like a great show, and I'm going to have to tune in and listen, because because how do you, like, of course, you say again, you're screening the survivors mm-hmm. and they're telling their story. So I'm sure there is this, correct me if I'm wrong, but obviously get into the, I guess the dirt. You know, mm-hmm. you get into what happened, and then you get into the recovery, and then I'm sure you're going to get into, okay, here is how I am now. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of the format that you're using for the survivors?
Yeah, that's our hope, is that, you know, as survivors, they have come out of it. They're no longer a victim. They've received the help they need. Hopefully they've, even the abuser hopefully has received help that they need, because it is a problem, right?
Interesting.
You know, that's one of our big hopes, is that we end this cycle of violence or abuse, not just get the victim out. Right.
You.
Now we don't offer those services per se, but there are those services out there. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, when they come in, who are you? Tell us your story. And they are welcome to use pseudonyms.
Yep.
To use only first names. Like, this is not a name dropping type thing.
Yep.
You know, we had one survivor come in, and she has told her story hundreds of times. She is a spokesperson for us. She has told her story in front of, you know, two people to several hundred,
yep.
most likely. She's told it again and again. But in the studio, as she's telling it, when she got to the point where it broke for her, where she realized she had to get out, where she almost died because her abuser had choked her into unconsciousness. When she got to that point in the story, she choked up. She had to stop and take a moment. And again, like so many of us that get to that point, we often say, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
yep.
Don't be sorry. This is your story.
Yeah.
And so then she composed herself and told the rest of her story. And then it becomes that story of hope.
Sure.
You know, here's how I did it.
Yep.
Here's what I needed at the time. Here's who helped me at the time. Now I'm married to this person who is amazing to me. Our kids are blended family. I'm leading the charge for this. And it becomes this hope. This light.
Sure.
And so it's kind of a similar format for each one of them. Yeah.
You know, and it goes to show you the power of this medium. You know, if you think about podcasting and you think about where we've come, you know, is there any other medium that's perfect for this? If you did video, you would have less participation because people would not want to be seen on camera. Because people are really conscious of that, especially in these types of situations. And I think podcasting is a perfect venue, and it's like you can get really, really deep, and it's like, you know, it's a real personal, it's a personal sharing, because that person is probably reaching right out, touching the soul of somebody that's listening to the show. So I think that and this type of content is what, to me, makes me so, I guess, proud of where we're at in the podcasting space and the type of media that we're able to create and put forth. You know, we can talk about business shows, or, you know, we can talk about tech shows. We can talk about all this stuff. But in the end, you know, any type of content that helps people get out of a spot that they're in that's not good is good. So, Anna, let's go back to a little lighter moment then. So
yeah.
you've done these interviews with these storytellers. And how's that interaction went back and forth? Are you finding that they are talking about your show? Are they promoting? Are you having challenges them linking back? You know, because that's some of the things I hear on interview shows sometimes. How are these storytellers interacting with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had, out of the 100, I've had a fair amount, a handful, let's say, that have promoted it afterwards. Some of them promoted it early on, and you could tell that they had a marketing person and maybe even marketing automation, you know, because it was relatively regular for a while. And then it's, of course, fallen out because they are on so many podcasts.
Yep.
I come out of rotation. I get that. So I've seen some of that. Haven't seen a ton of links. But again, I'm not super focused on the business side of it, really,
yep.
which maybe is to my detriment. You know, that show is not as big of an audience as what I would hope for, but it certainly is an audience, and I appreciate every single listener. And I'm having more fun. And I have to remember this, because when I look at my stats and I go, it's not what it should be. I have to remember that I'm loving what I'm doing. So to have 30 minutes to an hour with somebody that I admire, whether I've known them or I'm just meeting them for the first time, they're a storyteller I admire. I get to just have mentoring with them for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, what other way could you do that? I couldn't call up somebody and be like, hey, let's talk.
And they're going to say, yeah, give me a credit card. Let me do a, you know.
Right. So that's been pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, those who promote it, it certainly helps. I had a guest on who that season was social media storytellers. anyone who does storytelling and uses social media well was kind of my parameters. They're kind of loose sometimes to get people just to kind of fit in. But this one guy, James Breakwell, he writes for the Indianapolis Indy Star. He is an author, a children's book. He writes kind of satirical stuff and comedy that focuses on family and raising children. He on social media, he is exploding unicorn. And he's got a couple million followers.
Wow.
When he promoted it once, it took my listener numbers and just, quadrupled them for that episode. It was incredible. So that was pretty cool. And I think some of them stuck around. At least I hope. So I've seen that come and go. But also it's interesting because as popular as that episode was for that spike, I have other episodes that are continuously more popular because of the conversation. Because of how people find me, I guess, whatever it is. But it's
the Google juice, as I call, they search for topics, said, aha.
Yeah. So, I certainly would love more guests to promote. So when I, which even as a guest myself, I've been on 40 different shows probably.
Yep.
I share them at least once.
Yep.
But it's like, gosh, we're all so busy. So I don't hold it against the guests at all.
Me neither. And, it's one of those things where, it's just like, we're busy. Even with this show, we're busy. And I, always tell the team, make sure we let them know they're on this week. And sometimes we even forget, and then the podcast says, hey, I just heard myself. I didn't know I was on. Why didn't you tell me? So, I think even us, we have to be good on that follow up and those things we need. Well, a very exciting story, Dan. It really is. I think what you're doing here on both sides of the fence, it's such a diverse. You're doing two completely opposite shows, and I think it's good. So awesome.
Thank you.
What is the best way for people to reach out to you? Where can they find you for both shows?
The Storytellers Network is really easy. TheStorytellersNetwork.com. And there's contact information there. The I'm not in an abusive relationship. Certainly, if you Google that, you'll find it. But also, that website is the initials I mentioned, DASASMI.org. So DASASMI.org, and the podcast is there on the main menu. But in your podcast player of choice, Storytellers Network or abusive relationship, or just Google Dan Moyle. I've done my work out there.
Outstanding. All right, Dan, thanks for being on Podcast Insider. Absolutely fascinating story, and good luck with your ongoing shows.
Thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, support. What's going on in support?
I am finding all kinds of problems with media file names. Just seems to be a never-ending problem, so I want to beat this dead horse again. File names, just letters, numbers, underscores, and dashes. And don't put the underscore or dash at the end, and don't put two in a row. And because what it does is it messes up stats, for one thing. It can potentially mess up your feed. If our system and other systems out there do a little bit of renaming, if you put a space in a file, we put an underscore in place of the space. But if you go space dash space, then we put underscore dash underscore, and that just totally messes up the rest of the internet. Because if you're on, say you're the server that is delivering that, or the app that's pulling that file down, renames that one way, and then reports back to us that it's that name, and you're going to have 5, 6, 7 versions of that file in your stats.
So here's a simple formula, everyone. And again, the name, the media name has nothing to do with SEO. Nothing, zero. You can name your media 001.mp3. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put Podcast Insider 2019 Mike Dell interview. You don't please. That doesn't help you with SEO. To keep things organized, what I have done over the years, and again, this is very simple. I use a lettering sequence. I use example for this show. We go PII-2020-01-02. That's how the file will be named today. For this show, .mp3. And it's simple. My show, GNC-2020-01-01.mp3. So I'll know that that episode was January 1st, 2020. And it's for Geek News Central if you're doing multiple shows. If you're not doing multiple shows, just use 2020. You know, again, this is not to beat a dead horse, but we're going to. It doesn't help you with SEO.
Right.
To put it as long, because I've seen people with 150 characters, and that's another issue. You know, keep them short.
Yeah, certain apps just don't deal with long file names like that very well. Yeah. And they'll cut off the .mp3 part, and then it won't know what to do with it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely not, you know, it's not something, you know, and I don't know. I look at my hard drive, I look in the folder with all my old podcast episodes. Mine's super organized. They're all in order. They're all named, not the same. You can't name two files the same, but they're named similarly enough to where they all list in order and it's nice and short. But I can't imagine some of these, 150 character names with spaces and all that stuff. They're going to be in all kinds of different orders.
Yeah, and you're like, especially if you want to update something, you know, where's that file again? What did I call it?
Exactly.
So anyway, so let's talk about WordPress. There's some stuff that can affect your site.
Yeah, basically, if you're using WordPress and presumably PowerPress to generate your feed, what you do on your website does affect your RSS feed. That's your connection to the world. You know, so with great value comes great responsibility. It's very valuable to have your RSS feed on your own site, but your RSS feed is on your own site, so don't mess your site up. I've had a lot of people call or whatever, say, you know, my feed is gone bad, and why is that? And you know, they've done something like change their permalinks around, which changes the feed address, or they've changed they're changing something, or they're redesigning their site, so they put it in coming soon mode or under construction mode, and of course their feed dies along with their site being live. So
take your site offline, your feed's offline.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, you know, there's good and bad about having responsibility for your own feed, and the bad part is you got to be careful what you do with the website, which is not bad if you just, you know, follow a few simple, you know, recommendations. Just remember that, you know, if your site's not live, your feed's not live.
And it takes a lot to screw up a feed.
Oh yeah.
With you. You got to really, work at it to break it.
Yeah. And we have some talented users.
So just, and that's just one thing. If you're going to reorganize the site, just think about it. Think it through on how it may affect your feed, if it will at all.
Right.
And definitely if you go to a coming soon mode, remember that you're taking the site offline and no one can pull it and your feed will go, your show will go offline. So, or at least it won't be updating and you'll get some warning messages maybe from Apple. But anyway, that's going to bring us to the end here.
Yep. The only other quickie thing I had there is a few people have contacted us asking, well, I want to get my show on all the directories, before I do my first episode. And unfortunately,
you have to have an episode.
Yeah. The number one requirement for getting on a podcast directory is to have a podcast.
Yeah. So at least one episode. And again, it can be, hey, this is Todd. Yeah. My new podcast is going to be starting in a couple of weeks. It's called blah, 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 blah. It's subject about this.
Yeah, we call that an episode zero.
Yeah, episode zero. That way you can get submitted to Apple Podcast and all the other locations. You can get the syndication starting, or distribution as people like to call it. I'm Todd at blueberry.com. And we'll be kicking up the interviews probably again starting in the middle of January. How are we doing on those, Mike?
I think we're good for probably another month and a half.
Oh, okay. So, but if you want to be on the Podcast Insider, you got three options. You can be interviewed by myself, Mike, or Mackenzie. Todd at blueberry.com, Mike at blueberry.com, Mackenzie at blueberry.com. Let them know that you want to be on the Podcast Insider. You'd like to tell your genesis story of your show. And of course, Mike, you're going to be with a different co-host next week. So I'm off to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show and tromping around 100 acres of 4,000 vendors and all kinds of fun there. But be back in a couple of weeks in the Columbus studio So maybe we can do something cool when we're down there on the third episode of the new year.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll try to get somebody you haven't heard from in a while for next week.
So anyway, everyone, thanks for listening. And find us at podcastinsider.com. Subscribe to the show. Tell your fellow Blueberry podcasters or other podcasters about them, because we're always looking to migrate people to Blueberry. And if you're not an affiliate yet, become one. Make some money this year from recommending Blueberry as your favorite podcast host. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider.
Happy New Year.